welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Jeff Tate, CEO and co-founder of FlexLogix. Welcome back to the podcast, Jeff.
Hey, glad to be here, Dan.
We've talked a lot about eFPGAs on SemiWiki and the podcast, so I thought it'd be interesting to learn more about the history of eFPGAs, where they're going, and I could think of no one more qualified than you, Jeff.
Well, great. Thank you.
All right, so let's get started. How long have companies been trying to embed FPGA technology?
My co-founder, Chen, and I thought we were the first. But as we talked to customers in the early days of FlexLogix, we heard stories about people having tried this one or two decades before. IBM, LSI Logic, a startup called Leopard Logic, and I think there was a few other names, but none of them succeeded because they couldn't give the customers what they needed.
Right. Well, as you know, most everything gets integrated on an integrated circuit. So what's kept FPGA from being integrated?
Well, that was the big deal. So, you know, anything that's a printed circuit board today probably becomes an SoC a few years from now with the advances in the transistor counts you can put on chips. And people have tried for a long time to integrate FPGAs. What seems to have prevented it before FlexLogix was that prior solutions did not have the performance that Xilinx was able to deliver. People, when they integrate, didn't want to lose performance. They wanted to maintain performance. When they integrated, also, everybody picks a process node and a metal stack that meets their needs, and they need the embedded FPGA to be compatible with that process node and metal stack, and that's very hard. Traditional FPGA uses all of the metal layers, which would force people to pick one metal stack, which people generally don't want to do. They've got other trade-offs. And other solutions were very, very slow to become available on a wide range of process nodes, apparently. So for some combination of those reasons, prior efforts failed.
Interesting. So what's different now?
Well, FlexLogix is providing the kind of embedded FPGA that people want. When a customer calls us up, I was just talking to one this afternoon, they tell us we've decided we're going to use a certain process node. You know, most typically these days, they're telling us it's TSMC 16 or it's TSMC 7, or maybe they're looking at TSMC 5. But whatever process node they pick, they've already started their chip design. So they need the embedded FPGA to be available relatively quickly. And with our solution, we can design embedded FPGA from scratch in any process node in 6 to 12 months. 6 months for a planar process, 12 months for an advanced FinFET process, because there's just a lot more simulations that have to get done. The second thing they need is they need the embedded FPGA to run at Xilinx speeds. We can match or beat Xilinx speeds in the same process node. We're doing design for a customer now that runs over 500 megahertz worst case in TSMC 7 nanometer. The third thing they need is they need the FPGA to be of the size they want. Some customers just want a few thousand lookup tables. Other customers want hundreds of thousands, even a million lookup tables. So we developed a building block approach so we can build arrays of any size. And then finally, FPGAs come with RAM and signal processing, so we have those as options as well. So we give the customers everything they can get from Xilinx, but now they can stick them in their chip on any process node with their metal stack. And that wasn't possible before.
Right. So I remember when I first read about your company, when you first came out, you quickly partnered with TSMC, and that was impressive to say the least, because TSMC doesn't jump on new technology that fast normally, but you quickly partnered with TSMC, but you've also worked with other foundries.
you know, tell me a little bit about your foundry strategy and your experience.
Our primary foundry strategy is to focus on TSMC because that's what most customers do their designs on. And most customers do their designs on what I call the main nodes, you know, 28 to 16 to 7 to, it'll be then 5, then 3. So we are doing 7 nanometers now. We expect we'll roll off and take the team and do 5 next. Then we'll roll off and do 3 next. So that's what we do proactively. For other nodes, like on other foundries or older process nodes at TSMC, we need a launch customer, somebody who's going to make a commitment of sufficient size to warrant the engineering effort. And we've got those for several global foundries nodes, 12 and 22 nanometer. We also did the design for Sandia Labs, who has their own fab in an Air Force base in Albuquerque. So we don't currently support Samsung or Intel, but we will if there's a customer that is willing to make a commitment, and then we'll go do it for them. There's not as much business on those nodes.
So when and why was Flex Logics founded? You know, this is our 6th anniversary, Jeff. You've been on SemiWiki for 6 years. We've been working together, and it's been a real pleasure. But tell us, you know, briefly, when and why was Flex Logics founded?
We were founded in 2014. My co-founder, Chen, who is super smart guy, he's right up there with my founders at Rambus, my prior startup. He told me when I met him, I was introduced to him by a venture capitalist who invested in us and is on our board. He told me that I can make a better FPGA. I've invented at UCLA a superior interconnect. And FPGAs are 80% interconnect. That's where most of the area goes. He says, I can cut that in half, and I can do it with half the metal layers. And he built 4 test chips. It wasn't just a paper thesis. So he had real stuff running of substantial size and complexity. So that was impressive. And at that time, I had not been planning to do another startup, but you know, as it happens, our first grandchild came along, and all the travel plans I had, my wife shot down. So I had spare time, and Chen was fun to work with. So I said, let's go do it again. And his original thought was to compete with Xilinx, but that was a non-starter. In 2014, nobody wanted to fund a chip company. And even if they did, going head-to-head with the big guys is tough. We could build an FPGA that was half the size, but our wafer price would be twice Xilinx's, if not 3 times. So our die cost wouldn't be any better. But I'd done licensing, and so we pursued the embedded FPGA approach, and that's turned out to work very well.
Yeah, that was definitely a good call. I worked for a startup FPGA company a while back called Gatefield, and we were going to go head-to-head with Xilinx and Altera at the time, and it really didn't end well. It was much more difficult of a proposition than you might imagine. And you're right, you mentioned previously performance. The speed of the FPGAs is critical. So let's talk about Flex Logics in the market in general. You know, what's the value proposition? What's different? What makes you guys different?
What makes us different is we've got superior technology. There are competitors. And that's good because customers like to have alternatives. Menta does small FPGAs. They're not as dense. Achronix does FPGAs that can be big and have similar density and speed to us, but they design their FPGAs the old-fashioned way with a team of 50 to 100 people, and they take 2 to 3 years per process node. So they're only available on a few process nodes. They don't cover the breadth of what we do, and they don't have the flexibility or the granularity that we do. But I'd say they'd be the number 2 in the market. We've got, by our belief, we've got 75, 80% market share, if not more. We have more than 20 chips that have come out and worked. All of them, our portion worked first time. And we've got almost that many more in design. And we have a substantial number of customers evaluating us now. And the big change in the last few years is we've gone from missionary mode, you know, trying to pinhole people at conferences and try to convince them to get their management to use our stuff, to this year, I've got general managers and VPs calling us. In the last few months, I've been visiting a networking company where their VPs asked us to come in and talk. The critical thing they wanted to hear is how many chips do you have working? A major VP of a processor company came and talked with me just before the July 4th break, and we're doing technical evaluations now. They need the ability to customize their parts for customers. I'm flying to the East Coast to meet with another major executive soon who's doing technical evaluations. So the evaluation of this is increasingly being driven by executives because they've seen enough evidence that embedded FPGA works and it's real, that they're comfortable, much, much more comfortable moving forward. So the rate of adoption is accelerating.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. And, you know, one of the other things I have to say is you guys spend a lot of time in front of customers. You know, I mean, you're the CEO and you're jetting around talking about customers. Every conference I've ever been to, you're at. I mean, seriously, you guys are the most present and the most engaging company that I've ever seen. How are the conferences going? I just saw you last week, or maybe not you, but I saw the Flexlogic booth last week.
We went to, I think, 10 conferences this spring, and we'll go to another 10 this fall, between commercial and DoD conferences. We're present because, you know, we are in the early stage of adoption. And despite the fact that we're working on 40 different chips, you know, there's probably 4,000 chips that are getting designed at any given time. So there's still a lot of people that we need to reach. And they need to feel that we're the best supplier. So being visible, you know, helps. And frankly, that's why we're at as many conferences as we are, because, you know, people generally buy when they have repeat exposure. This isn't an impulse buy. This is, they'll talk to us one conference, they'll talk to us another time, they'll think about it. Like this processor guy who came and met with me, I called on him the first time before COVID. It finally sunk into him that, hey, you know, you guys could help us out, and I think your technology is ready now. So we're investing the efforts because we want to become really big, like ARM did, and you just got to build awareness.
Yeah, clearly you're playing the long game, and you know, I really admire that. And I'm really happy to see at the conferences, because we have to get these conferences back engaged, and we have to get people, you know, back meeting face to face. So your participation and your activities are greatly appreciated.
Yeah, well, the conferences aren't back to where they were, but they're probably half the attendance that before COVID. So it's getting better.
Yeah, that's my experience as well. Great to talk to you, Jeff. Thank you for your time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Dan, pleasure. Thanks. Take care.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.